for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Saturday morning service of August the 31st, 1996. The camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the speaker for the morning. Should this tape for any reason prove to be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
Turn the rest of the morning to Brother Tommy Cook.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and give the Lord a good hand. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord.
You.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Bless your name, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Praise God. Praise. Could you have some? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for this day today, God. This is the day that you've made, Lord. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it today, Lord. Thank you for the meeting last night and the presence of the Lord. Thank you for all the meetings and all the ministries and the people you send here, Father. We bless you, Lord. Bless this word as we share it this morning. Open our hearts to receive it, Jesus. And we all said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. 2 Peter. Chapter 1. I want to give you four scriptures and take you into the Word of God in some areas that I want to share this morning. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 19. How many thank God for the Word?
Amen.
Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1, 19, it says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed." That's a warning, isn't it? "As unto a light that shineth..." Where's this light shining? Come on. Where's those dark places? It's in our soul. "Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart." That day star is the morning star. I may believe he's the star. Look over in Revelation 22:16 of Revelation. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel," literally my prophet, "to testify unto you these things." Where? What things? The revelation of Jesus. "I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright," come on, "and morning star." Praise God. We got wandering stars, shooting stars, falling stars, Hollywood stars, but how many know he's the star? Hallelujah. Revelation 2. Revelation 2, give me your background here for a few minutes. Revelation 2:26. Jesus said in 2:26, "He that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he, the overcomer, shall rule." The word rule means shepherd. "He shall shepherd them with a rod of iron." Notice that, rod of iron. Why didn't it say a staff? Because wood speaks of humanity. This is a rod. This is the rule in the spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
"Notice, as the vessels of a potter shall they, the nations, be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the overcomer." Come on, what's he going to give us? The morning star. "And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." All right, what's the overcomer? Turn to Revelation 21 and verse 7. Let's see what the overcomer is here. Revelation 21:7. It says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things," literally all these things, "and I will be his God, and he will be my son." How many believe that God has a son? Hallelujah. Jesus is the Son of God, isn't he? And yet God is raising up another son in his image, in his likeness. Amen? Now turn to Revelation 12, and this is where we'll stay a while this morning. Revelation chapter 12. Let me know, this is a critical chapter in the book of Revelation. 11, very critical. 12 is critical. 13, well, they're all critical. They're all good. But 12 to me is really one that we need to have much more light and understanding on. Amen? Praise God. How many has ever read the 12th chapter of Revelation? Good. And how many understand it? Okay. Well, we're all learning, aren't we? I mean, no, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know very much. He knows everything. He is all. Amen? Chapter 12 of Revelation. Now, there are several things we need to see. Verse 1, notice what it says. And there appeared a great wonder or sign in heaven, in the heavenlies. A woman was clothed with the sun, the moon's under her feet. Upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. Hallelujah. Now, how many know that this woman represents the bride of Christ? You know that? That's who it is. I used to teach it otherwise years ago until God showed me who it was. This woman is the bride. How many know he's got a bride? How many know he's the husband of this bride? And how many know he's protecting this bride? And he's speaking intimate things to this bride that he's not saying to just everybody. Come on, amen? Not everybody's in the bride. God knows who they are. I'm not the judge to know who's going to be in the bride, but I'm telling you, not everybody's going to be in the bride. But he has a bride, a glorious bride. Amen. And so, this woman is the bride of Christ. It is not natural Israel at this time. How many know that God's got a people there, though, that's coming in? Come on. How many know God will not forsake them? He's not going to forsake that people there. In fact, God has a remnant coming from every nation. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. But at this time, we see that this woman is the church. Now, she's going to give birth to a man-child. The man-child is Jesus and a people, but it's not Jesus the baby. I mean, when this man-child is born, it is a maturing son. Jesus was born as a baby. And how many know also that when Jesus was born, he was not caught to the throne until 33 and a half years later. This man-child that's going to be birthed at the end of this age, which is really our God's overcomers, will be caught to the throne of God. Like John in Revelation chapter 1. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 4, actually. Revelation 4, John says here in chapter 4, after this I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. How many believe Jesus is the door? The first voice that I heard was as it were a trumpet, a voice speaking to me or talking to me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And remember, chapter 12 is hereafter, okay? It's not all in the past. Now, there are some things been fulfilled, but I'm telling you, the book of Revelation is going to be fulfilled in this hour. Amen. Verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that was to look upon was like a jasper and a sardine stone. Praise God. So John beheld the throne. And yet in Revelation 12, the man-child is caught up to the throne. We'll touch on that in just a minute. Praise the Lord. This woman back in chapter 12 is God's queen. I may believe she's the queen. Hallelujah. There's an opposite queen in Revelation 18:7, the harlot church. She calls herself a queen, but she's a harlot. But this is God's queen. This is God's queen, and she has the crown upon her head, which speaks of victory, speaks of a lot of things we could talk about here. And we know that God is doing the work. Now, let's come back to chapter 12, if you're there, or if you're not there. Let me say that this woman is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. How many know she didn't go into the wilderness? Her and the husband didn't take Jesus into Egypt. But this is at the end of the age here we're talking about. Okay, look down to verse 2. And she being with child, cried with and travailing in birth and in pain to be delivered. All right, let's just stop at those two verses for a few minutes. Now, how many know that it says here that this woman is clothed with what? What's she clothed with? The sun. The sun represents her glory, her covering. How many believe Christ is our covering today? Amen. It's not man. Christ is our covering. This light, this sun represents Christ's righteousness. It's the glory of God, and so she's clothed. And I believe the Lord has a clothed people. Hallelujah. You see a lot of these pictures on the wall with naked angels? How many know that isn't God? He don't have any naked angels. Did you hear what I said? I wouldn't have one in my house. I don't want any naked angels in my house because he don't have any that way. Can you hear me? Praise God. God's people are clothed. Amen. God's angels are clothed. And so, this woman is clothed with the Son. Who's the Son? Look in Malachi. Let me give you two scriptures on the Son here. Let's see who the Son is. I'm going to take my time this morning. Is that all right? Good. Praise God. I like to preach, but I like to teach. We need some teaching this morning. Praise God. Malachi chapter 4, I guess it is. 4:2. Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness, arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. So he is the S-U-N, isn't he? And yet he's the S-O-N. The Son of righteousness. So that covering is righteousness. It is his glory. It is his light. Hallelujah. It's Christ. Now, Psalms 84. One other scripture on the Son. Psalms 84, verse 11. I hope you got a lot of fingers. 84:11. For the Lord God is a Son. The Lord God that David spoke about yesterday morning. The Lord God is a Son and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Hallelujah. So he is our Son. He is our shield. Amen? Praise God. Now, how many know that this sunlight, or this sun, that we see there in Revelation chapter 12, that's clothing this bride, how many know that, well, let me say it another way. How many know the moon has no light of itself? It's reflected light, isn't it? It is light that's, we'd say, artificial or secondhand. And yet this sun is her husband. Hallelujah. And this sun is not shining on the moon, but it's shining on the woman, isn't it? Let's go back and look at it. Verse 1 again. The woman clothed with the sun. So the sun is upon this bride. Yeah. The moon's under her feet. How many believe there's some things under our feet this morning? Now, how many know there's some things we've all come out of that we want to keep them under our feet? Amen. Never resurrect them. It's the old order, the law. It's what it is. And she's standing on that. And it also means she came out of that. We've come out of some things, and yet we're entering into God, aren't we? Amen? Hallelujah. And so, the sun is her husband, shining upon this woman. Now, in the Old Testament, let me know that Joseph had a dream. Let me know he was a dreamer of dreams. And what got him in trouble, he told his half-brethren the dream. And yet he dreamed again. And they threw him in the pit. Let me know, you might get thrown in the pit by your visions and your revelations and dreams. By your brethren. Now the sun in the Old Testament represented Jacob. That the vision Joseph saw. The moon represented the mother, and the stars represented the sons. And so Joseph saw them coming in, bowing down. How many know that literally happened in the Old Testament? But in the New Testament here, the sun is Jesus. The moon is the old order that's under our feet that we've come out of. And the 12 stars represent the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Let me thank God for the apostolic ministry. Now, in this church, what I see at the end of the age, I see three things. First of all, she's clothed with God's glory. Second, she has dominion over the things we've come out of. And thirdly, those 12 stars are in her crown, which means in the church, at the end of this age, there will be apostolic authority. Now, we saw the evangelist, we saw the teacher some, and the shepherd, but how many know we need to hear the prophets and the apostles in this time? Amen. We have almost left those ministers out. In fact, many can't even get into some churches. Come on, they're so close to them. Isn't that right? And yet, it's the very ministry that's foundation that we need. Hallelujah. But how many know you're not going to keep out the real men and women of God? God's going to raise them up and take them and put them where he wants them. Praise the Lord. Now, notice here in chapter 12, it says, though, in verse 2, she being with what? Child. And you ladies in the natural know what it means to give birth to children. And yet, this woman, the church, the bride, is going to bring forth a child. I mean, no, she's been overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Just like he overshadowed Mary. And the Holy Ghost has put, come on, and is putting his divine seed in her. I mean, no, this is not man-made. This is God. Amen? How many thank God for the seed that's in us today? Did man do it? No. God did it. Hallelujah. And notice she's crying. She's travailing in birth. She's in pain to be delivered. Now, there is a travail coming that we have not experienced. Some of us have experienced some of this in prayer and travail. But I don't see it here in America yet. It has not came in its fullness yet. But it's coming. It's building. It's building. I mean, it's going to take strong travail to bring this church, this son forth. Isn't that right? And I believe to be a son of God, we must be an intercessor. Because God's sealing his intercessors. We know there's scripture on that. And so, notice the stages. She's with child, she's crying, she's travailing, and she's in pain. And how many know there's some pain to birth something? Huh? Look over in Galatians just a minute. Let's turn there to Galatians. What is it? 4:19? Praise God. Galatians 4:19. Paul said, my little children. And thank God for little children, both in the natural and in the spirit. Of whom I travail in birth. Notice the next word, though. Again, it's one thing to travail and bring them to Jesus, but how many know there's another travail to bring them to maturity? Until, there's a time word, until what? Christ be formed, or actually fully formed, in you. And Christ, of course, in us is that hope of glory. So here was an apostolic ministry who had birthed them to the Lord, and yet he said, I'm travailing in birth again until Christ is formed within you. Praise God. And so there's going to take a tremendous travail to bring forth these overcomers in this end time. Praise God. All right. Now, look in John 16. I want to give you this before we go any further here. John 16. And look at verse 20. Jesus said here to the apostles. I believe the apostles started the travail. I may believe they were men of prayer too. 16:20. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail or in pain, birth pains, has sorrow, but her hour is come, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish. For joy that a man is born into the world. Praise God. Let me see that. Let me see the word child and the word man there. Put them together, you got man child. What's coming forth in Revelation chapter 12? A man child. How many know Samuel was a picture of the man child? We have many pictures in the Old Testament. I dealt with that here in the teaching not long ago. But back to chapter 12 of Revelation. Now, where is this woman at? Where is this woman? Where's her position? In heaven, isn't it? Her position is in heaven. Let's look in verse 1. Again, there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Now, this heaven is impure. You say, how do you know? Because the dragon's there too. And you got a dragon where the woman is, how many know there's something impure there? Said another way, how many know there's heavens in us? But how many know there's mixtures in you and me? There's still some area of the dragon in us that we hadn't got out yet. Come on now, don't shout me down. There's mixtures in all of us. What did Jesus say? He said, the kingdom of heaven is like five foolish and five wise virgins, which is a mixture. And where is that kingdom? It's in us. And that mixture's in us. It's not where God is. There's no mixture with God. The mixture's in us. And that means we have to not only repent, but we have to get delivered. We have to die out to ourselves. There's many things we have to do as the Lord directs us. Praise the Lord. And so there's a lot here. Now look in verse 3. There appeared another wonder in heaven, that same heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his head. And he's in that same heaven. So it's impure. It's an impure place where that heaven is there. Praise God. Now look at verse 4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Notice, the tail of Satan is bringing down the stars of heaven. Now, when is this happening? This tail is at work at the time of the bride coming forth, giving forth birth to this man-child. As the bride begins to bring forth this man-child, at the same time, the stars are falling from heaven. And I don't know who it was yesterday, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of stars going to fall yet. There's a lot of ministries and people of God that's going to fall yet. And how many know we better pray that we don't fall? We all better pray we do not fall. And we need to pray for those. Come on. Amen? But there's going to be people falling. And that tail, let's see what the tail is. Go to Isaiah 9. I'm going to show you what the tail is here. Isaiah 9, verse 14. It says, therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel. And I'm looking at Galatians 6 said, we are the Israel of God. I'm looking at us, and yet we know there's another Israel. Therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush. Come on in. One day, the ancient, the honorable, he's the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. Now look at verse 16. And the leaders of this people that cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Well, how many know if we listen to lies, we will be destroyed. And so this tail ministry at the end of the age is false prophets, and I'm telling the United States is full of them. And a lot of God's people don't discern their left hand from their right hand when it comes to discerning some of those things. How many know we need some more discernment? Come on, now, don't show me that's true. We need some discernment today. Amen? Hallelujah. There's such a mixture. And yet, the false prophets are arising. And they're going to cause many to fall. I'm going to show it to you again in Matthew. Turn there. I showed it the other night. But let's look at it again. 24, verse 11. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because lawlessness shall abound, the love of those many shall wax cold. Those that were hot become cold. Amen? Yes. And the scripture says, the love of many shall wax cold. So instead of love, there's hate. Why? Because false prophets have made an inroad into people's life. How many know a false prophet has a false spirit and usually has a large following? Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, when people begin to exalt you, come on, and lift you up. You better look out. Amen? Back in chapter 12. The tail is drawing the stars of heaven down at the time the man-child is being birthed. And notice he cast them to the earth, and the dragon stands before the woman that's ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, notice he stands before the church. The devil stands before the church. He doesn't want the church at this time. He wants the man-child. He wants that overcomer. You know why he wants the overcomer? Because that's the people God's going to use to bring him down. How many want to be an overcomer today? Hallelujah. And it's Christ in us, the overcomer. Come on, that's going to come forth. Not in our flesh. It's not in our strength. It's in him. It is the overcomer coming forth in a people. And so Satan hates this overcoming company. Amen. He hates this army. Amen. But how many know he'll never stop it? He'll never stop it. Hallelujah. Amen. Never. He'll never stop it. And notice it says he's there to devour her child. Literally to eat up this child. Amen. No doubt we'll come against this child. Not only in church, by church systems, but the world organizations out there. He'll come against these people of God. How many know we have an enemy called IRS today? We have a lot of enemies out there, don't we? Maybe you don't think so, but I do. I think it's an enemy. Hallelujah. You want Jack? Yeah. Praise God. But notice, to devour her child as soon as it was born. So when this child is being birthed, the devil's out to destroy it. Now, God is going to let the devil loose against this child for one reason, that he can take this child into a higher dimension. Amen? Now, Listen, let me give you some scriptures to show you by revelation God gave me what it means to be caught up to the throne. I'm going to give you several scriptures here. Turn to Revelation 11:3. Now, I didn't say the same thing, but by revelation, I know it by the Spirit. Revelation 11:3. Hallelujah. Revelation 11:3. I may believe that when someone's caught to the throne of God, they're going to begin to move in some power. Amen? I mean, Jesus had the fullness of power while he was here, and yet he lived there on the throne, didn't he? Verse 3, I will give power to my two witnesses, my two martyrs, and these are not two men. I was taught that, but it's not. It is the Word and the Spirit and a people. Hallelujah. They shall prophesy 1,200, threescore days, clothed in sackcloth, which means they're in a flesh and blood body. They don't have a glorified body, but they're here and knows the power is flowing. Now, when they're caught to the throne, this is the same experience right here. Now, turn to another one. Turn to Matthew 25. Hallelujah. Matthew 25. And I'm not asking you to believe anything I say. I can't convince you, but the Holy Ghost can convince you of its truth. 25:10. I'm a teller, he's a convincer. 25:10, and while they went to buy, the foolish, the bridegroom came. Now, this coming is not his literal coming here. That's what some teach. This is his coming in a people. Now, he's coming out there. Don't misunderstand me. Jesus will come in the air. I believe that with all my heart. Some don't believe his literal coming, but I do. But while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were, come on, ready. Somebody wasn't ready at this time. Somebody missed God's best. Somebody missed that first fruit. Somebody missed that overcoming ram. You know why? Because they didn't have the oil. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Come on in. What was shut? What did John see open in heaven? He saw a door open in heaven. Hallelujah. And somebody marched through that door. And yet somebody's on the outside for a period of time here. But how many know the door's going to open? Turn to Luke. Luke. Chapter 12. Or is it chapter 11? Find out. Chapter 11. Luke 11. Look at verse 5. Jesus said, which of you shall have a friend? And how many know he's our friend? And shall go to him at... What hour is it in Matthew 25? Midnight. How many know that midnight's the darkest hour, but 1 minute after midnight, we're on the downscale going towards morning? Amen? Now, before we go any further, let me show you that midnight is not always bad. But let's go to Psalm 119. We're coming back here. I'm just giving these scriptures as the Lord brings them to my mind. 119 of Psalms, if I can find it. 62. Look at this. 119:62. Now, here is midnight in the book of Psalms. Psalms 119. At midnight, David said, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. So at midnight, God's righteous judgment shall come and somebody is going to rise up and thank the Lord. Amen? Can we do that? Amen. God's judgments are coming. And yet, back in Luke, chapter 11, this is midnight. And so he goes to this one at midnight and he says, friend, lend me 3 loaves. We need 3 loaves, don't we, brethren? Passover, Pentecost, tabernacles, 30-fold, 60-fold, come on, 100-fold. What fold are we? Well, we only know, and God only knows. But he says something here. For a friend of mine in his journey has come, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now. What happened in Matthew 25? The door was shut. And my children... And I can trace that children, show you it's the sons of God. And my children are with me. Where? Where? Come on. What are you doing, Bet? Rest. They're at rest. This is the throne room. Are you hearing me? This is the throne. How many of you are called up to the throne, there's a rest in God? My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. But somebody's on the outside of that door knocking. And I say to you, though he will rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Well, if you're going to give him the bread, how many of you got to open that door? So there's the bread, and they got to go buy the oil. And how many know we need the oil? We need the bread. We need the word. We need the anointing. Somebody say amen. So when we're caught up, a people that's caught to the throne, it's those going in to that marriage feast. It's these that are in bed. It's those that have the power. Hallelujah. Praise God. Back to Revelation 12. And I didn't get that out of Schofield either. Chapter 12 of Revelation. What happens in verse 5? She brought forth a man-child. A man-child who was to literally rule or shepherd what? All nations. All the nations here on the earth. Didn't say if you're going to rule in heaven, you're going to rule on here on the nations. With a rod of iron. There's that word rod again. And her child was caught up to God. Come on. And to his throne. Hallelujah. Notice, caught up to God. God is a spirit. God is light. God's the word. God is love, and God's a consuming fire caught up into that dimension. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, he's got a ways to go yet. Amen. And to his throne, the place of government, the place of rulership, the place of overcoming. And I want to tell you, how many know there's many enemies? I could talk about that tail. I could show you seven things about that tail I didn't tell you. One thing was the false prophet. But one of the things about the tail is also the flesh. You know the word tail means to wag. It means hindmost. Remember in Deuteronomy 25, there was those who came up behind Israel called Amalek. Remember that? Let's go look at that. Deuteronomy 25, real quick. You ever had something come up behind you to destroy you or to hit you? Chapter 25. Chapter 25, verse 8. Verse 17, the Lord said, remember what Amalek did unto thee, by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt. Now notice, they're on their way to their inheritance, and here comes the flesh to stop them. How he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee. Even all that were, look who the enemy hits. Feeble, those that were feeble behind thee when thou was faint and weary, and he feared not God. Notice that. Amalek didn't fear God. How many know your flesh don't fear God? Our flesh is enmity with God, isn't it? Literally, it's hostile to God. It hates God, really. Therefore, it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. And how do we overcome the flesh? By walking in the Spirit. That's the only way you'll overcome it. Amen? Amen. And how many know this? It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. So back here in Revelation 12, we see that she gives forth this man-child that's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. So let's go back to chapter 2, and let's see again who these people are. It shows us right here in chapter 2, verse 26. Again, we'll read it again. He that overcometh keeps my works to the end. To him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them, the nations, with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received from my Father. So the overcomers with Jesus, under Jesus, will rule the nations. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise God. And God knows exactly who this people are. I believe there's going to be little housewives here in this group that we hear nothing about. Come on. That go about their daily routine. Routines, and yet they're praying, they're seeking God, they're crying out to God, they're spending time with the Lord, and there's going to be people in this group that we don't even anticipate, the people who love God. Now, there's not going to be any fighters in this man-child. I'm talking about fighters who fight each other. We fight our enemy. We fight the good fight of faith. But there's not going to be any fighters here. There's going to be lovers here. There's not going to be a fighter in this group. Come on. And fight with each other. We're gonna have to love one another, even in spite of all our faults and mistakes. Isn't that right? And we all got them. Hallelujah. Then in verse 6, something happens. Something changes. What is it? The woman begins to flee into the wilderness. Now, I see several things here. First of all, I believe the woman's going to be protected by God. Secondly, how many know she's in the place of God? She's going to be in the place of God. And thirdly, there's going to be persecution. The greatest persecution is yet coming upon the church, whether we believe it or not. And I believe it will hit the church and is hitting the church here in America. Protection from God, the place of God, and she'll be persecuted. Now, verse 6, the woman fled into the wilderness. That's the testing place. Now, I mean, this is not one locality. It's not one little place. It can't be. But it's worldwide. Just like here, we're all from different places. We're part of the church, aren't we? And I mean, most of us have been going through some things. Amen? Hallelujah. And she brought forth this man, the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God. God's preparing the place. How many know he can design the place of called the wilderness for you and I? He knows how to build that place and prepare that place. And that they should feed her there how long? Which is 3.5 years. Now, notice the word they. The word they there is the man-child in verse 5. The man-child who was birthed out of the bride now is ministering back to the mother, back to the woman for 3.5 years. Well, how many know, somebody said, 3.5 years isn't very long. Well, how many know if you're in tribulation, it's a long time. Isn't that right, Speed? Sometimes one day is too long. A long 3.5 years. But nevertheless, the woman is being ministered to by the overcomers, by the man-child, for 3.5 years. Now, next verse. And there was war in heaven. Now, so the man-child is taken to the throne in that place of power. The woman is going into her testing time. And then war is breaking out in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. And how many believe that war is already here? This is not something just way out there. It's already happening now. You see, day by day, we're getting closer and closer to this thing, aren't we? But here in verse 7, notice, the war is in heaven. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means there's war in you, in your heaven. Now, look over in Revelation with me, 17. Hallelujah. Revelation 17. And John sees the vision of the beast and the heads and the horns and all that I won't go into today, but in verse 13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength to the beast. Notice they're in oneness here with this beast system. These shall make war with the... Where's the Lamb at right now? He's in us, isn't he? Well, if there's war against the Lamb, do you think you're going to be in this warfare? Absolutely. And the Lamb shall... Come on. Overcome them, that Lamb in us as well. For he's Lord of lords, King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and they are faithful. Hallelujah. 30, 60, 100 there. You got those that are called, those that are chosen, and those that will be faithful. Amen. So, the war is breaking out back in Revelation 12. The war breaks out in heaven. Michael and his angels are fighting. Amen. Against the dragon. The dragon's fighting with his angels. And verse 8 says, prevail not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And I believe that our final deliverance comes here in Revelation 12. How many know you can have it today? You can have it tomorrow? And so forth. But the final deliverance of the church will be here in chapter 12. Because everything... Now look at the titles here. Look at the titles. You have the dragon, verse 7. In verse 9, you got the great dragon. He's also called the great red dragon. He's the old serpent. He's the devil. He's Satan. You got all those titles. And all of that that's within God's people is going to have to be dealt with and eradicated. Can you believe that? I want to tell you something. You can't just go anywhere and get deliverance. Isn't that right? There's very few places you can go and really get deliverance. How many know that's true and you're where you live? Yes. I mean, you take the big cities. Very few places you can actually go and really get help and get delivered. But how many know God's raising up his deliverers? God's raising them up. Amen. Here's some right here in the front row. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it says that the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth. Angels cast out with him. Verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused him before our God day and night. Now, how many know if we're in the man-child, if any of us are in the man-child, I don't know who else is going to be in it. I'm sure not going to boast and say I'm in it, because I don't know who's going to be in it. I mean, no, that's God sees who's going to be in that group. Amen? But I'll tell you this, the man-child must first be delivered and set free first in order to minister to this bride. And how many know you can't minister deliverance unless you sit under a deliverance? Isn't that right? And how many know we all need a bushel of it? Maybe it's two bushels. Three. Yeah, that's complete. But we need deliverance. We need the enemy to be eradicated from our temples in whichever way it is. Amen? Whether it's through repentance, through dying out to self, deliverance, whatever. We need to deny and resist him. Hallelujah. I believe that. But the man-child has to be set free first. Amen? Now go to Obadiah. Thank you, Jesus. I know you know where that's at. I can't hardly ever find it. Obadiah. Praise God. Chapter 1, verse 17. It's just one chapter. Obadiah 17, I should say. He said, upon Mount Zion. Zion is the seventh letter to the Hebrew. Upon Mount Zion shall be what?
Deliverance.
And there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, the house of Joseph a flame, the house of the flesh or Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of the flesh or Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. Now look at verse 21. Verse 21. Now here is the same word, same people, verse 21. And saviors, and that word saviors means deliverers. Saviors shall come upon, which means they're climbing, shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the flesh or Esau. And the kingdom shall be what? The Lord's. Now let's go to Revelation 14 and we see this people. And it's the same as the man-child in Revelation 12:5 and the two witnesses in Revelation 11:3. Revelation 14, I looked and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. Remember, these are not Jehovah's Witnesses. They're his witnesses, though. And that number is not literal, it's symbolic. Hallelujah. Having his father's name written in their foreheads. Who's got an amplified translation here? Anybody? Would you stand, sir, and just read that verse 1 real loud for us? 14:1 of Revelation. Read that verse for me. Oh, it's a little different in the amplified. Go ahead. Now notice, his name, that's Jesus, and his father's name inscribed the end there, forehead. Hallelujah. Well, if you've got the Father, how many of you got Jesus? If you got Jesus, you got the Father. Yes, that's right. That's right. Ezekiel 9 talked about that. That marking. Revelation 7, Revelation 14, Revelation 3, Revelation 22. The marking of God. And we've got to have that mark of God, as Brother Glenn said this week. Having his father's name or nature written in their foreheads. Praise God. Now, if you multiply 12 by 12, you get 144. Then by 10 by 10 by 10, you get 144,000. And the Holy of Holies was 10 by 10 by 10. And these are the throne people. These are the Holy of Holies people, the overcomers. Now, verse 2. I heard a voice from heaven as a voice of many waters. That's also mentioned in chapter 1 and chapter 19. It speaks of his body. Also, Ezekiel talks about it. And Daniel talks about it. As the voice of a great thunder, I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. They're worshiping the Lord. How many like to hear harps? I like it. And they sung, as it were, come on, a new song, new message before the throne. and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man can learn that song. How many know you can go to any Bible, every Bible college in the United States and you won't learn that song except come by revelation? That song is about the Lamb. But notice it says they sung as it were a new song. New. How many like something new? Yeah. Before the throne and the beasts and the elders. No man can learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. God's redeemed people. This is God's army. Verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with women. What does that mean? The heart of church. Don't mean there's not going to be women in this group. Women will be in this group just like men. Don't ever think God's separating men, women out. Listen, how many know that it's going to be full of women? That's crazy to think that. Revelation 17 talks about the harlot. That's the one that they're not defiled with. Come on, they've come out of the harlot system. What did God say? Come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her plagues. Amen. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to the Song of Solomon. I want to go a little further with this. Song of Solomon. How many like the Song of Solomon? About my favorite in the Old Testament. Chapter, Song of Solomon. I believe I want to go to chapter, yes, okay. Let me find out here just a minute where I'm at. Praise God. I think it's in chapter 8 I want to go. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, first of all, I want to look in chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. And then we'll go to chapter 3. All right, in chapter 2, let's see what it says. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor wake my love till he please. How many see that? All right, now look in 3. Look in chapter 3 and look in verse 5. I charge you, O you daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor wake my love till he please. Same scripture. Now look in chapter 8. It differs here. In chapter 8, verse 4. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up nor wake my love till he please. What was left out in verse 4 of chapter 8? The rose and the hinds, which is male and female. And in Christ Jesus, there's neither male, come on, nor female. And the 8th chapter of Song of Solomon is maturity. Go to Galatians 3. Hallelujah. Galatians 3. Verse 26. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Does that leave out the women? No. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, this is a spiritual baptism, have put on Christ. You're wearing Him. That's the sun-clothed woman in Revelation. She's wearing Christ. That's the sun. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. That doesn't do away with the woman in the home, her role in the husband, but in Christ. He's not looking to see if you're male and female. Come on, he's looking at your obedience to him and your love for him. No, yeah, right. Praise God. Let me see that. Let me know he is our head today. Jesus. Amen. Now, back in Revelation 12, you know, there's three things here that's set against the people of God. There was the tail in verse 4. In verse 14, there's the face of Satan. And verse 15, the mouth. All three of these things that's in the dragon is against the people of God. How many know we have an enemy today? He wants us destroyed. He hates us. Well, let's turn that corner around. We hate him. And he's going to be destroyed. Amen. All right, now, come on back down to chapter 12, verse 11. They overcame him by what? Come on. Blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Love not their souls unto the death. The word lives is soul. I mean, know that they overcame him. Somebody overcame him by the blood and the word of their testimony. I mean, the Lord's restoring His testimony in His people. Amen? Now, look at verse 12. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens. Notice heavens there. I went through chapter 12 recently, and I wrote down everything in chapter 12 of what was happening in heaven. My, it was quite a list I had. Well, here, there's rejoicing in heaven. Hallelujah. And ye shall dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. That's the carnal realm. And the sea, the devil's come down to you having what? Come on. Great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath a short time. He's a short timer. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, notice now, he persecuted the woman. Now, God has her in that place of the wilderness. God is protecting her, but yet there's great persecution. Even though Satan is cast down, he's still attacking the people of God, isn't he? He persecuted the woman which brought forth this man child. Now he's after this woman, isn't he? First he wanted the overcomers. Now he wants her. Now look at verse 14. And to the woman were given two wings of, it should be, the great eagle. And you know that's Jesus Christ. Exodus 19, he said, I bore Israel upon eagle's wings. Remember that scripture? And here again, he's bearing this people upon eagle's wings. Hallelujah. What does that mean? He's raising her up above that which is satanic. How do you want to get raised higher? The woman were given the two wings of the great eagle. That's the word and the spirit. That's the balance. That's the mind of Christ there. That she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she's nourished for time, times, have a time, from the face of the serpent. We saw that in verse 6 as well. It's repeating. Only it just says there times, time and a half. Okay, verse 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after this woman. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Notice, he's out to destroy this woman by a flood. How many has ever been in the flood? You see all the old dirty water and all the old dirty animals and stuff in the natural, but this is not a natural flood. This is a spiritual flood. How many know that these are lies, deceptions, filth, false doctrine, demons, uncleanness, perversions, you name it. It's coming out of his mouth. Look in Revelation 16. Let's see it right here. Revelation 16, verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the river Euphrates. This judgment, this bold judgment is going to hit that river. The water was dried up that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, which are those perverse spirits, come out of the mouth of the dragon, Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet, or the false trinity. And they are the spirits of devils working something, miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle, now look at this, of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. I want you to notice, we're over here in Revelation 16, when the judgments are hitting, Jesus hadn't come yet. Isn't that something? He hasn't come yet. And yet everybody, many teach chapter 4 that we've been called out in chapter 4. And yet in chapter 16, right here, it says, behold, I come as a thief. He hadn't come yet. What's a thief? What does a thief speak of? It speaks of an element of surprise. You don't know when a thief's going to break in your house. He don't knock on your door and say, I'm a thief, I'm going to come and get your jewelry. Come on, Jesus is not a thief, but his coming is like one. Amen? Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed he that watcheth, keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, be a Laodicean Christian, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Actually, Harmageddon. The place of the mountain range. The place of the hills. But I want to tell you, Armageddon is not in just one locality. Armageddon will be worldwide, both spiritually and naturally. I mean, our battle is not with guns today. Although I believe we have the right to protect our families and our homes and things, but I'm not just going to build an armor out here, come on, and go out and start shooting people. At least right now I'm not. I mean, if we're thrust into war, it's a different situation. But what I'm saying is our armor is not in the natural. It's not flesh. I mean, no. Our armor. Come on, our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down. To the pulling down of strongholds. But I'm telling you, war is going to break out. Armageddon will be worldwide. Amen? Praise God. It will be worldwide. Just like Babylon. How many know Babylon had a start someplace, but today it's worldwide? That's the way I look at Armageddon. I'm not saying there won't be war in the Middle East. I'm not saying that at all. Because I'm telling you, it's coming to the Middle East. But it's also going to be worldwide. Okay? So these spirits coming out of the mouth of that false trinity speaks of lies, deception, uncleanness, perversion, all those things that's been set against the people of God. So let's go back to Revelation now, chapter 12. And remember, Jesus said when the devil speaks, he speaks a lie. He speaks his own nature, doesn't he? Chapter 12 of Revelation. Now, look in verse, let's see here. Where should we stop at? I use 15. Okay. And the earth helped the woman. The carnal realm helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth, swallowed up the flood that the dragon cast out of his mouth. Okay. And the dragon was wroth. What does that mean? He's mad, isn't he? He was wroth with the woman, with this bride. Why? Because he couldn't get her. And notice, and with the remnant of her seed. And notice this remnant. This word remnant means the rest of her seed, the seed that's left over for planting for next year, which is the best seed. But notice this verse. And I wrestled, verse 17, many years. Argued over it. With a few others. But this war, notice, was made with a remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, who is that remnant? It is God's overcomers. Now let me show you that they keep those commandments. Look, I'm going to just give you one part of this verse here. Look in 22:14 of Revelation. Just to show you one part there. Two things it said. They keep the commandments. They have the testimony. Okay, Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right or the privilege or the authority to the tree of life. And Revelation 2:7 says the overcomers partake of that tree of life. So those that do his commandments, those that keep the commandments, are the overcomers. And what else? They may enter into the gates into the city. They'll enter the government of God first, really the fullness of the government of God, which are the overcomers. Now let's go back to 12:17. Look again now. The dragon was wroth with the woman, went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Now, I want to show you a fulfillment of that in Revelation 11:7. God has showed us this. Now, I believe there's going to be people living when Jesus comes. I do believe that. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be people die for Jesus. I mean, we got two categories. And both are right. I mean, thank God that you might walk into life. Come on. And others may die and walk into life. So we thank God for that. Revelation 11:7. And when they shall have finished their what? What did they have back in chapter 12:17? Not only did they keep the commandments, they have the testimony of Jesus. When they have finished the testimony of the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, shall make war against them. Come on, and shall overcome them. And how many know they just killed the body? How many know 3.5 days God's going to raise them up? In resurrection. In fact, they'll start the resurrection. Thank God. How many thank God today that there's a people on the scene God's raising up. It will not compromise even unto death. Amen? How many know you can't do that in yourself? It's got to be God in us. We don't boast in our flesh. We don't boast in ourselves. We can't do anything without Him. It's all in Jesus. How many believe that? Everything is in Jesus. He gives us the grace, the strength, the health, whatever we need. Praise God. But it's all in Him. Amen? Praise God. So there's a people going to walk into life. There's a people going to lay down their life. Which category we in? God only knows. Some of us may go before them. Whether we live or whether we die. Come on, we're the Lord. How many believe that today? Any questions on what we've shared in this context today? Anybody got a question? Brother, that's the rule in the Spirit. not the flesh. It's the real rule of God. Well, yeah, it's the strength of God. Yeah, it can be the Word too. Yeah, the words of God. It can be the Spirit of God. It's the Lord through a people. Yeah. Somebody else? Not quite. All right, brother, sister. Well, I think the things that we go through daily, you know, God's helping us to, as we rely on Him and cry out for Him to come forth in us, to help us come through the things that we're facing, the world, flesh, and the devil, I think we'll know. It's by His ability, of course. Yeah, there you go. That's right. That's a good answer. I have a little book back there on the table called The Three P's. I think Brother Mumford taught that one time, too, and some others, but the three P's, you know, there's first the promise given, then there's the problem, then there's provision. But to come through the problem, you've got to have faith and patience. And as Pete said, joy and his other things. One man said the three P's were meant please pass the pudding. So anyway, I think if there's joy in our hearts, God will help us come on through those situations. And how many know some are tested stronger than others? Because there's more at stake in the provision. Look at Paul. Look at the experience Paul had. Somebody said, I'd like to have his experience. But look what Paul went through. Amen? I mean, God knows exactly what we need. And everybody's is different. Somebody else had the hand up back here somewhere. I got a question? Okay, sister. Yes. Yes. Right. Right. Jesus had ministry was 3.5 years. And I believe this is, will be 3.5 years of the overcomers will also minister here on the earth like Jesus did. Same power, the fullness will be, only be throughout the whole earth. Praise God. And I sure want to be one of them. How about you? Well, you know, you get beat up all this time. You go through all these things. Don't you want to be in something? Come on, don't you get to beat him up for a while? Yeah. Yeah. See, what did you say, brother? Amen. Amen. Don't we all? We're all learning.
I, a while back, realized the overcomer's gospel is the Word of God. And the Word of God, you got to recognize that you are who God says you are.
Man.
You have what God says you have.
Right.
And you can do what God says you can do.
Amen.
Then you're an overcomer.
Amen. Amen.
I just want to add to that, and I want to get it to you from, I got it from a demon one time. And people say, I won't talk to demons. Let me tell you, I like to hear them confirm God's word. Demon told me one time, said, if you stupid people knew the power you had.
Praise God. If we don't overcome, something will come over us, won't it? So we've got, it is a daily thing. And I felt Mildred had something at the first, when we first started. Remember I asked you? And so I felt she had something. So I appreciate her sharing with us today. I believe it was really of the Lord. And we do have to put it under our feet. And it is a daily thing. Praise God. Let's stand in the Lord and pray and ask God's blessing upon the food today. Praise God. It's more than just mouthing I'm going to be an overcomer. It's got to be in the heart. Got to be in the walk. Amen. We have some books and tapes in the back. If you'd like to get them, I'm going to have to leave after lunch. So if you'd like to get them, you better get them now because I have to box them up. I'd like to just take them so I wouldn't have to box them up. Praise God. Let's please come and close in prayer and ask God's blessing up on the food today as well, okay? Bless the people.
Almighty God, we thank you for your word and for your prophets that proclaim it. Let us receive it and let it become the living
yes,
word.
Yes, Lord.
That, as our sister said, we walk in it and really practice the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lord, we look forward to what may be shared in the future as
yes.
we really grow into the fullness of the stature of our Lord Jesus
yes,
Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Now, bless the food and all those who prepared it and give it to our bodies to strengthen us to go forth and be overcomers. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.